My name is Judith. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Before I start my share, I would like to take a moment of silence for just those who are still suffering as compulsive overeaters. Please just join me in a moment. Thank you. When I was asked to be a speaker for today, I was instantly enthused because a few things were coming together. I am eager for the new 2020, as it is for me a desire to see life with 2020 vision, to awaken, to come to, as is our theme today, our second step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Also, what comes to mind is the chapter in the big book, A Vision for You. I remember first time I read that chapter, actually the first time I just saw the title. I was so moved by it. I had no vision for my life. I had no dreams. I only knew misery. I felt trapped, no sight and definitely no insight into what was going on inside of me. So for the book to say that there was a vision for me gave me hope, and that hope that I did not have. I want to thank my home meeting, my sponsor, and HP for guiding me in this day's sharing. Usually I would just speak spontaneously, but there were so many things I wanted to say, I just had to write it down. So I'm just going to read it. My home meeting knows that I adore the promises. I was encouraged to follow a prompting that I felt to use the promises as a way of lacing together my story. Thanks. The promises appear in the Into Action chapter in the Big Book, pages 83 and 84. It is the long reconstruction, house cleaning, making amends period of life, that phase. Something in me loves the promises. I receive energy from them. Sometimes they are a mirror for me, and sometimes just a vision of what really could be, but it isn't yet. There are 12 of them, just like the 12 steps and 12 traditions. I don't fully understand my deep affection for them, except like meetings. I first noticed I would go to a meeting and I would just feel really bad about myself. But I never left a meeting feeling that way. That started to get me curious. I was 27 years old when I first came in to the meeting. I got, how does that work? Or I would just feel this terrible hunger after I'd eaten dinner. And I'd make a phone call, and after the phone call, I was full. I began to, what is going on with me? The promises are like seeing that chapter, A Vision for You, when I had no vision for myself. The promises said that if I was painstaking about this phase, making amends, house cleaning, letting myself be reconstructed, that I would be amazed before I was halfway through. I've been in the program now almost 44 years. March is my anniversary, and I want to be amazed. Most of my life, I was truly miserable, depressed, discouraged, lost in a kind of hell. Because I knew I had God-given gifts that could be used in service, but I was incapable of using them, paralyzed from trauma. I wanted so much to enjoy the gifts I had. I wanted to be amazed, and now I am. The second promise, to know a new freedom and a new happiness, seemed impossible to me. I was in bondage to the disease. I couldn't stop eating once I started eating refined sugars or processed flours. There was no choice. I ate an entire pan of my mother's Christmas fudge, but I only ate it one tiny slice at a time. I scoured the grocery store aisle for veggie chips and bought huge bags of popcorn and woke up in the morning with empty bags beside my bed, not even remembering devouring them the night before. I bought bags and bags of chips and threw them in the garbage to try to stop. and then went to the garbage to get them out and eat them. No freedom, no happiness, and yet somehow that is not my life today. I do know a new freedom and strangely, a new happiness. 6 years ago on July 22nd, my husband and I were in a terrible car accident in Missouri, coming home from a family reunion in Illinois on I-70. We were on the ramp, and we were T-boned by a large pickup truck driven by a 17-year-old who had his girlfriend with him, and I was driving. I was going 5 miles an hour, they said. I was at a stop sign, and I pulled out, but I did not see the pickup. And my husband was severely injured. I had 8 broken ribs, fractured my pelvis and both hips. We were only a few miles from the University of Missouri Hospital, which actually saved my husband's life. As I lay on the board in the ambulance, with every breath so painful, I remember now that I was thankful for OA, where I had learned to take one day at a time, and now somehow I was having the patience to take one breath at a time. I actually thought that. Thank God for OA. I could hardly breathe. My husband lived 40 days and died on the morning of our 22nd anniversary. He was only 6 minutes now from home in a rehab facility, but was only there for 24 hours. Now, after 6 years, outside help with an amazing grief counselor, once a week for 5 years, I can tell you I do know a new freedom and a new happiness. I am happy, and I'm very grateful for this new life. Promise number 3, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, was the only promise I was absolutely convinced would never come true for me. For 35 plus years, I waited, convinced it couldn't happen. And then a fellow said, maybe it could. That was just a crack in my stubborn door. My regrets were as a mother to my 2 daughters. They were so great, I could not imagine that I could ever know the gift of this promise. My first husband, that I married because I was supposed to, not because I loved him, created a very painful marriage from day one. Actually, so was the engagement. I was so paralyzed, bullied, and abused, I could not take actions on my own behalf. I was controlled by my mother, bullied in the one-room schoolhouse that I went to for 7 years. I was abused musically by my aunt and my mother, and I knew no other life. Also, this man's name was the same as mine, only pronounced differently. It was pronounced the same, spelled differently. So I thought, you know, that's fate, right? There's a funny joke. My last name was Barr, B-A-H-R. His was B-A-R-R. And they put in the paper, girl goes from bar to bar when she weds. I didn't think it was funny at all. It pissed me off. My daughters were born into this, and as an adult, my eldest daughter all of a sudden decided she couldn't speak to me anymore. A surrogate mother appeared for her, and for 6 years she wouldn't communicate with me. Send gifts, they would be sent back. The accident in Missouri, however, woke her up, and the miracles now between us keep on coming. And I honestly can say to you there is a space growing in me where I do not regret the past, and I want to keep the door open. Who knew this could happen? The promises of self-seeking slipping away and the one about losing interest in selfish things, well, I'm still waiting for those. I pray that my fear of people will leave me. I am naturally shy, and I have learned that if I get curious about another person and how they are, I can open up and then enter a room. As a musician and a performer, I was paralyzed before my performances, and for some reason one night I prayed for help, and this is what I was given. Seek to express the music, not impress the people. And it just brought me into that focus. I also pray that my fear of economic insecurity will leave one day at a time. I grew up poor, and I am still in a poverty mindset, but one day at a time, I try to take care of myself. After all, we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions, and I apply that to my own financial life. The promise that really got me hooked was, we will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. I began to experience this in my work. I did not go to school to learn what to do, so it has been rough at times learning on the job. My intuition has led the way. Learning to trust myself, my intuition, has been difficult, and I've made many mistakes. But one day, I made a decision, and I actually heard in my head, you're going to intuitively know how to handle that situation. The 12th promise pulls it all together for me. Steps 1 through 3, 4 through 6, 11, and the awakening of 12. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Not what we can, but what we cannot. This day, the day that my heart took step 3, I was driving over a bridge across a huge rail yard in Fargo, North Dakota. I knew somehow down to the bottom of my life that I was powerless, and something woke up in me. I came to, out of the fog, and I made a decision. No matter what happened, no matter where it led me, I would choose HP, which for me is Holy Presence. And I believe my life continues to unfold from there. Each morning, when I am ready to get up, I pray step 1, then I pray step 2, and then step 3, and when I pray, made a decision to turn my will, I turn my body over. Some days I resist doing even that. Then I get down on my knees and I pray our third step prayer. I'm learning that HP's voice is never shaming. It's never accusing. It's never blaming. That is just not how God talks. That voice is my own inner accuser. HP's voice is always supporting, encouraging, urging me on, and teaching me to listen to what is alive inside of me, not the accuser's voice, which would lead me to paralysis, bondage, and death. On page 535 of our big book, these words speak to me as enthusiastically today as they did 40 years ago. Quote, I know the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to create, and the byproduct is happiness. To create. Everyone does it, some at an instinct level, others in the arts, but including every working activity of the human being is to have a creative attitude toward things is the more exact meaning, to live and to deal with other human beings creatively, which means to me seeing the God in them and respecting and worshiping God. Each day at the end of my writing time, which is first thing in the morning, I write a poem. I was first given this idea on Easter Sunday, April 21, and I've been doing it ever since. This is the one from December 16th. It's called To Care Tenderly, and I end. To care tenderly for my heart is the simple plan. I sought guidance for this day and to do what I can. I didn't know the meaning or how to live this way. The program then stepped in and offered a place to stay, to dwell within my own heart, attentive to God's care, to take the time that's needed, to let my life become a prayer. So today I ask for inner strength, for softness and gentle grace. So tenderly care for my heart, my home, my sacred place. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being you and encouraging me to be me. Thank you, God, for everything. May we develop eyes for seeing clearly 2020 in this new year. May we all come to believe.